Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. I'm here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. We're talking about how to help pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, last time we talked about the how-to. We're looking at four questions to ask when starting to put a sermon together. So how about a little review? Where have we come so far?
I'll review it with you and see if you've been listening, all right?
Okay, fair enough.
When do you try to answer these questions in the sermon preparation process?
Very, very early. In fact, in my mind, it's got to be the first thing in the sermon preparation process.
Yeah, if you don't do it early on, it just messes up where you are later. Okay, what's the first question you're trying to get the answer to?
What's my subject? What am I talking about?
Is that going to be confusing to people? That seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it?
Seems very straightforward.
Okay. I know my subject now. What's the second question?
What response do I want the people to make?
Okay. That's easy enough. And that almost always will be in the text. Sometimes if you're preaching on, say, the life of Samson or something, you have to say, this is the subject I'm picking out of here. But a lot of the text is just so obvious you can hardly miss it. Okay. Then the third thing, which is not in the text, is I've got subject, response, third question.
How to? How do I go about responding?
Yeah, what do I want the people to do? And sometimes you give ideas and then they work off those ideas with their own ideas, but at least you've given some practical baby steps. These are the ways you're going to go about pulling this off. Okay, now that's the review. Now we're to a fourth question, right?
What's the fourth question?
Well, the fourth question is the hardest one not to come with an answer to, but to understand in terms of what I'm talking about. And I call it the how long. And this is the one that ministers don't usually think about, but it's very important in my mind. This question says, "How if people do what I say, and I'm telling them what the scriptures say, how long will it take before this begins to be a part of their lives?" Okay. For example, we talked about the text on hospitality. If I preach one Sunday on hospitality, inviting those who can't invite you back, and I give specific how-tos with that, how long is it going to be before somebody actually does that and before they begin to think in terms of the less privileged instead of always going out for coffee after church with their friends? So maybe the simplest step is all they say is usually we go out to lunch after Sunday morning service and we go with friends. This time we're going to invite somebody who maybe we don't know that well in the service who comes to the church, but we're going to reach out because we think we can befriend this person that way. How long before they start to think that way? Well, do you think you'll pull that off one Sunday? And my answer is one Sunday won't do that. So that text about inviting the poor, the lame, the halt, the blind, whatever, how many times do you think you'd have to preach that before you got people to actually begin to live that out? My guess is you'd have to preach it at least 3 and maybe 4 Sundays. And maybe you wouldn't preach that exact text, but similar texts. So you begin to get people to look past just those people they enjoy being with to those who maybe need ministry done on their behalf. So if you don't preach 4 and you only preach 1, you might as well say it's not going to work because you never considered the length of time it takes for people to begin to absorb material that is totally foreign to anything they've ever lived before. Okay? So it's the time frame that is being talked about. And most of the time, as you look at it realistically, you say, if I think I can change people's lives with one sermon on that text, I'm not really living in the land of reality. It's going to take more than that. So basically that comes to the place where ministers say, oh, man, I'm going to have to slow everything down if I'm really wanting people to respond in the way that the text says, okay? So it's a very, very important question. I talked to you a couple of podcasts back about the message I preached on a clear conscience. I would say, and I said to you, I think if I get 5 out of 300 who begin to do that from one Sunday. Now, if I preach 2 Sundays on that, I think I would multiply it more than 5 a week. I think I'd get it up to maybe 10 or 12. And if I preach 3 Sundays, I may get that up to 20 people. You know, and if I preach 4, at a certain point, I'm going to preach it too many times, and people are going to puke on it. They just, I don't want to hear it anymore. I decided I wasn't going to do it anyway. So please go on to something else. But if I give it enough time, I can begin to see more and more lives changed. And so the time factor is very, very important, and surprising to me, because this is such a time-conscious society that ministers don't think about it that much. How long is it going to take me to begin to see change come about? How many times do I have to hit this? It's kind of like the advertisers to say, if you have a new product, it'll probably take 10, 12, 15 times where a person hears about that product before they'll even begin to recognize that it's out there. I mean, if you say, I'm going to advertise one time on radio or television, forget it. It's not going to work. It just takes a lot of hits.
Okay, that helps a lot. I've always struggled with the how long. And what you're really saying is how long is it going to take to see a result or to see this really become part of the fabric of an individual? It occurs to me as you're talking that it might very well be that there are some spiritual disciplines that it's going to take a lifetime of practice.
Yeah, my prevailing sin for many years, I am a recovering workaholic, okay? And I say recovering because it's not a painful thing to my family now, but it was at one time. But I still have this very healthy respect for it, and there are many times I have to say no to things because I know that will require a certain amount of time that will get me back into the workaholism, which I don't want to do. I have to avoid that. Well, it took, I'll give you, you guess. I know exactly how long it took before I began to say I am a recovering workaholic, okay, instead of a workaholic. But what would you think? If I heard one sermon on workaholism and then a guy thinks Mainz is going to jump through that hoop, boom, and now he's no longer a workaholic, he's a recovering workaholic. Dean, it took me 3.5 years.
Yeah, I can believe that, because something like being a workaholic is so ingrained in there's so many connections to your psyche and to your emotional well-being and to your physical way you go about things. That has so many tentacles, so many hooks into you.
Yeah, they were like coils, like a big snake, and I'd get one coil off and I'd say, I enjoyed that coil. You know, I got to give that up. Part of me overcoming the problem was giving up radio, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed television even more. I did it. I won awards on it, all that. But my family, what it was doing to my family was, it was terrible. So I had to decide which I was going to choose. Well, I don't think that a minister could preach 3.5 years on workaholism, you know, but in terms of preaching on that, if the minister would say in the sermon, if your problem is such and such, it could well take you, you know, 2, 3, 4 years before you begin to get freedom from that. At least that puts in the mind of the person the awareness that this is going to be one long battle. Okay, so if you're going to become someone who understands the scripture, you're talking about to the place where you say, I really have a good handle on the Bible, so I'm no longer a novice when I open. Well, you're talking probably 2, 3 years, again, for a person to get to that place. Mm-hmm. Reading through the Bible from cover to cover isn't going to make you a master on that. It's a long process. But if you say, I'm going to work on, which is a pattern a guy taught me, he said, pick one book. I picked Philippians. That was years ago. And I stayed in Philippians until I knew Philippians backward and forward. You couldn't ask questions on Philippians unless they were trick questions that I would know the answer to. Philippians was under my belt. And I remember the day I said, I've read that so many times, Philippians is mine. And then I got the next book and the next book and the next book. Well, if somehow in the preaching, the handle gives a time factor so that you say, you can do this. And if it takes you 6 months on Philippians, maybe you can master Paul's letters in a period of 4 years. You know, somewhere you're giving a time frame that helps people understand. Otherwise, they assume, because you said it one time and then you didn't talk about it anymore, that you're just expecting people to move like mad, becoming wonderful Christians, which doesn't happen that fast. So you're giving some kind of a realistic time frame as you're preaching that helps them process what you're talking about.